What is up, Heights? It is good to see you this morning. You guys are looking good this morning, and happy Mother's Day. The mothers in the room, listen, we can be excited about Mother's Day because you all have a mother too, all right? Happy Mother's Day. I salute you mothers because, listen, kids are hard, okay? Kids are hard, especially if you have little kids. You are living hell right now, and you know that, okay? And that's okay. We're excited. Listen, kids are hard because they're unpredictable. They're unpredictable. You don't know what they're gonna do. I don't know if you know this about me. I coach baseball for Embry-Riddle University, and the boys are actually in Lewiston, Idaho right now. The team is there in playoffs, and we're hoping we can continue to celebrate them as they win through that. But we had our team banquet at the end of the season just 2 weeks ago. And it's a time to kind of celebrate what happened during the season, a time to celebrate the seniors that are leaving. And so we had this banquet and they said, you can invite friends, you can invite family. So there was about 150 people at this banquet. And so I brought my wife and my two youngest kids. I brought my five-year-old and my almost two-year-old. And they had done a great job sitting still at this banquet, sitting still until they got up to honor the coaches. And so one of the players got up and gave this speech about me, and he's honoring me and saying, we're so glad that Todd gives his time to come and help coach us. And my kids had sat so still until he started talking about me. And as they were sitting, they were talking about me, my almost two-year-old decides she's gonna walk about 10 feet behind me, get on all fours, and start barking like a dog. I'm not kidding you. This is what happened. I'm sitting there and I'm like, what do I do? Half the people in the room are looking at the guy giving the speech. The other half are looking at me with my dog child behind me. And I'm like, what do I do? Give her a treat? Like, what do you do in this moment? Like, I don't know. Listen, kids are unpredictable and it is hard to be a parent. And so moms, it is a thankless job that you do. And so we want to thank you. And listen, sometimes it feels like a thankless job. Sometimes it feels like you're unseen. Sometimes it feels like you just are going through this grind of life and you are unseen. And listen, this morning, my heart breaks for those of you who feel unseen. Mother or anyone else that feels like you're living this life where you're just unseen. My heart breaks for those of you that feel like you have this silent struggle going on inside. And for some of you, Mother's Day brings that out because you're sitting here wishing more than anything that you could be a mother. And you have this silent struggle inside of you. And you've been living this struggle. And my heart breaks for those of you that are living this silent struggle inside, that are asking the question of, man, if this doesn't change, I don't know how much longer I can go on. I don't know how much longer I can go on unseen, living this struggle, dealing with this burden that I'm feeling and going through life with. And listen, that can be a mom or that can be any of us. And in fact, I would say that has been all of us at some point or another in our life where you felt just unseen. But the good news is this, is that we serve a God that sees the unseen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Mark chapter 5 today. And what is happening is that Jesus has been on the scene for a little bit. And so Jesus is gaining this popularity. People are going, man, did you see what Jesus did? He's healing people. He's saying things that is pushing against the cultural norms. And all of a sudden, people are going, well, we got to check out what's happening with this Jesus guy. We want to see what he's doing next. Maybe they weren't in need of a miracle, but they just wanted to see what's going to come out of his mouth next. Who is he going to heal next? We want to see it. We don't want to miss out on what's happening. They can't just check Instagram for the latest thing that he's done. And so there's crowds that start forming around Jesus. We pick it up in Mark chapter 5, verse 21. It says, when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd, people that knew what he was doing, a large crowd had gathered around him while he was by the lake. And then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and he pleaded earnestly with him. He said, my little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. And so Jesus goes, okay, I have a mission now. I need to go do this. And so Jesus went with him, and a large crowd followed and pressed in around him. Can you imagine the crowd? Can you imagine the crowd that's pressing in because they're going, well, we want to see what Jesus is going to do. We want to hear about Jesus. We want to see what's going to happen next. The crowd was probably insane. Any Disney fans in here? Yeah, some Disney fans. My wife is a big time Disney fan. She loves anything Disney, but especially Disneyland. She loves Disneyland. In fact, when we lived in Southern California, we had passes to Disneyland. And so we took our three-week-old twins, they were 4 pounds, we took them to Disneyland. When there, some of you were like, you're a terrible parent. Listen, our passes were expiring that day, so we had no choice. We had to go. So we took them to Disneyland. It was a wonderful trip. They remember all of it. It was perfect. We talk about it often. But Disneyland's awesome. We love it. We got to go this last Christmas, right after Christmas, we went, and the trip was amazing. And here's why, because I didn't have to pay for it. Because if I did, we wouldn't have gone. But my in-laws paid for it. It was awesome. They had to take a second mortgage out on their house to do so. I'm just kidding. They didn't. But it was awesome. We went to Disneyland. And when we go to Disneyland, my wife isn't just like, all right, let's just go and have a nice, relaxed, chill day. It'll be fun. Like, there's an agenda. There's stuff that we got to see and we got to do. So we get there when the park opens. And we do this thing called rope drop. I don't know if you know what rope drop is, but when you get there early, before the park even opens, they let you in and they let you go to like the main street area because they want you to spend money, right? But they won't let you go where the rides are. And there's a rope there and there's people there holding the rope. And as soon as they drop the rope, you can go within and get to the ride that you've planned to go. And basically all you're doing is it doesn't matter what your plans are, you're going wherever the crowd takes you, right? Because people are packed in, you're packed in like sardines. Listen, I've never been a cow before, but I'm pretty sure it's what it feels like if you're a cattle, right? And you just go wherever it takes you. The crowd is pressing in every area. And I imagine that that's what the crowd is following Jesus is like. And Jesus is heading to heal this man's daughter, but this crowd is surrounding him. This crowd is pressing in on him. This crowd is guiding where he's going and everyone around him as well. Verse 25, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. For 12 years, she had struggled with this, and she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. She'd been afflicted by this for 12 years. For 12 years, she'd had this struggle inside of her. And she's going, man, I'm dealing with this. I'm trying to get through this. And she tried everything. In fact, she spent everything she had. And I think we see a few things about this woman that relate to us as well. The thing we see in here as we look is this is an unnamed woman. She's just called the woman. Right, she's unnamed in this. And for some of you, you feel unnamed. You feel like, man, it doesn't even matter who I am. I just walk through life. I slip in unseen. I slip out. And maybe you have people around you, but you feel like the struggle inside of you is what characterizes who you are. And you go, man, I'm just unseen. This woman relates. She's an unnamed woman in the Bible. She feels unseen. She feels unnamed. She feels like she's just one of the crowd. And in fact, to make it worse, she's not just unnamed. She's known for her struggle. She's known for her issue. If you Google woman in the Bible, you'll get a lot of results. But if you Google woman with the issue of blood, you'll find this account. You'll find where you can find this account. She's not only unnamed, she's actually known more for her struggle. And what her struggle would have meant in that time is that she was unclean. If you go to the book of Leviticus, it says that if you come in contact with blood, you are ceremonially unclean. So that means that she would have to walk around saying, unclean, I'm unclean, so that people around her would move away, because if they come in contact with her, then they in turn are unclean as well. And so she's living a life where she has so much physical pain. She's struggling physically, but she's also struggling emotionally because she has no one around her. And she has to go through her life carrying this burden. She has to go through this life carrying this burden of this internal struggle. She's going, I don't know if I can get through this. I don't know if I can go through to the next day. And because of her condition, she is unclean. And listen, because of our condition, because of the sin condition that we live with, we are unclean in the sight of God. We are separated from God because of our sin. We walk around in the same condition that she is in. She searched for a cure. We understand that we're broken. We don't go around knowing we're not broken. In fact, what we do is we try to find a cure for our brokenness. And what she did is she spent everything she had. She sold everything she had. She used everything she had to try to find a cure for what she was going through, and she tried everything in the world to find a cure. And a lot of times that's what we do, is we try everything in the world to find a cure. We run to all the worldly things around us. We go, man, if I just have alcohol in my system for a second, it'll numb the pain for a second so I can just soothe that pain. I can just soothe that pain, and we run to that, and we go, that's what's going to take care of it. Right, we want to run to a relationship. If I just get into the next relationship and I find the right relationship, it will soothe the pain that I'm feeling inside of me, maybe just for a second. If we just run to the affirmation that people will give us and we hear the right words and they tell us what we want to hear, it'll soothe the pain just for a moment and inside my struggle will go away. Right, if we just look at pornography for a second, it'll give us that shot of dopamine in our brain that we need and it'll soothe the pain just for a second. And we run to all of the worldly things around us thinking that it's going to take care of the problem inside. And it's exactly what she did. She ran to every single worldly thing around her to try to find a solution that only God could provide. And it doesn't matter how many things you run to and how many things you try and how many things you think are going to soothe that pain in this world. This world was never built to soothe your pain. The only one that can do it is God. And this woman got to a place where she understood, I've done everything. Verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and she touched his cloak. Because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. If I just reach out and touch his clothes in the middle of all of this, I will be healed. There's a lot of chaos going around. Jesus is busy. Remember, he's on a mission. He's got to go and he's got to heal this guy's daughter. I got to go take care of her. And so Jesus is on a mission and she's in the middle of this. And she's like, man, if I can just get to Jesus for a second, I know that he's busy. I've lived in Prescott for 3 years now and people will always come up to me and say, man, how do you like it here? And listen, we love living here. We love living in the Prescott Valley area. It's incredible. It's amazing. We love it. But there's only one thing I would change. Snow. Listen, I don't do that. I don't do snow. Well, someone asked me the other day, they said, what's the perfect temperature for you? And I said, San Diego. There it is. I don't do snow. I don't do cold. I don't like it. And we had a couple snowfalls this year. And so what that meant is that it was a snow day, right? For some of you who lived in places where there was real snow, you're like, oh, there's no snow here. What are you talking about? Right? Pastor Bob, he's from Ohio. That man's never met a snow day. He doesn't know what it is. It could be a blizzard. And he's like, I'm going to the office. You can't stop me. Listen, if there is one little flake of whiteness on the ground, your boy's staying home, all right? I ain't going anywhere. I ain't getting on the road, all right? And so we had a snow day this year, a couple of them, and I'm sitting there on the couch and I'm working and I hear a crash in the kitchen. I hear this noise in the kitchen. And so I go in the kitchen to find out what it is that I heard. And I see my preschooler who'd climbed up onto the counter and she'd gone around the sink, you know, that little part in the sink, the counter, and she'd gone around that and she'd gotten to the cupboard to try to get a glass out of the cupboard. And when she did, a glass had fallen down and shattered everywhere. And she's standing there on the counter and I'm like, okay, don't move. I'm like, babe, why didn't you ask for help? And she said, Dad, I thought you were too busy. And I said, babe, I'm never too busy for my daughter. See, sometimes in the midst of our problem, we minimize our problem. We go, but God has so much more going on. God is so big. God has so much going on. Remember, he's got the whole world in his hand. God's got so much going on and my problem is so small that he probably doesn't want to deal with me. He probably doesn't want to deal with me in the midst of everything as he has going. And as he's going through this crowd, as he's going to heal this girl, she says, if I can just reach out and touch God. And a lot of times what we think God is too busy doing, God's just going, no, listen, I'm never too busy for my son or for my daughter. I'm never too busy. Verse 29, immediately her bleeding stopped. And she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. And he turned around in the crowd and he asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciple answers. And yet you can ask, who touched me? His disciples probably thought he lost his mind. They're probably looking at each other going, Jesus lost it. Who touched you? Look around, bro. There's like hundreds of people. Who touched you? I can name like 300 of them right now. Who touched you? Are you serious right now? There's people everywhere and you're going to ask who touched you? And this is my favorite verse in this account right here, verse 32. But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. See, Jesus not only sees the unseen, he seeks the unseen. Jesus not only sees the unseen, if you're in here and you're feeling unseen and you're feeling unappreciated and you're feeling like you're worthless and like you're sitting there yourself and you're going, man, I don't know. Jesus not only sees you, Jesus seeks you. And he sees you right now where you're at. And he goes, you are here for a reason, and this is for you. Because he's seeking you out. He's seeking out this woman and he's looking for her and he's going, no, listen, I'm here for you and I know that somebody touched me and I don't just see the unseen, the person that slips by, the person that doesn't want to be seen, the person that feels like everything in their life is just too much and there's an internal struggle. He's seeking them out and he sees this woman. Verse 33, then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, she came and she fell at his feet and trembling with fear, she told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, daughter, the unnamed woman, the woman who's known for her struggle, he called her daughter. And he said, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Peace, something that she hadn't experienced for at least the last 12 years of her life. He said, go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Listen, Jesus saw her. Jesus loved her. Jesus healed her and he called her daughter. He called her a name that she hadn't known because she'd probably been disowned by her own family. She had nobody around her. She felt the pain of everything falling in. Just like right now, you may be sitting here and you're going, I don't know how I can go on because that is the pain that I'm feeling. And when he's looking at you and he's calling you son or daughter. And he said, you're free. You're free from the bondage of what this feels like. You're free from the bondage of what this means. You're free from the difficulty that you've been going through, from the struggle that you're dealing with. And Jesus, that same Jesus, who looked at her and said, you're free, went to a cross, was nailed to a cross, took your sin, took my sin with him on that cross, was taken from that cross and buried so that when he rose again 3 days and he conquered sin and he conquered death and he conquered the grave, he can look at you and he can say, you are free and you are my son or my daughter and I don't care what you've gone through, you have peace because of what I just did on that cross. That is the Jesus that we serve. That is the God that we serve and he has called you son, he has called you daughter. You are not unnamed, you are not unseen. Back in the late 90s, back in the 1900s, remember that? Remember back in the 1900s? You know what the sad part is? Some of you in here don't, all right? And that makes me feel sad inside. Back when I didn't know I was gonna lose all my hair, way back then, man, I knew everything about Jesus. I grew up in church, I'd been to church my whole life, and I knew everything about Jesus, but I'd never gone to Jesus. And I had the recognition. People knew who I was at church. They would recognize me. Oh, you're the leader. Oh, I know who you are. But on the inside, I felt unseen and I felt broken until Jesus. Until I went to Jesus. I think there's three main things that we see in this account that we can take today with us. And the first is this. She goes to Jesus in her pain. In her pain, she goes to Jesus. In her pain, she doesn't decide, I'm just gonna deal with this myself. I got this on my own. In her pain, in her struggle, in the midst of the stuff that she was going through, she decided, I'm going to step out and I'm going to go to Jesus. My question for you is this, do you wanna function or do you wanna be fixed? Do you wanna just function or do you wanna be fixed? Because a lot of times what we do is we just put duct tape on our lives. And I just wanna go through it, I just wanna function, that's fine. But you know what happens when you're just functioning? Really what you're doing is that's actually called dysfunction or malfunction. You can't just try to get by and function. You need to be fixed. And the only way to be fixed is to go to Jesus. It's to go to Jesus. In her pain, she decided that she was gonna go to Jesus. But sometimes there's blocks in the way between us going to Jesus. There's things that block us from going to him. And the enemy tries to lie to us. It tries to tell us things that we believe. The enemy tried to lie to her and tell her, you're the only one struggling. You're the only one. And sometimes that's the lie that we believe is we're the only one struggling. I can't get through this because I'm the only one that's dealing with it. I'm the only one that's struggling. Listen, turn to the person next to you and say, we all struggle. Okay, now let's get a little bit more real. Turn to the person next to you and say, I struggle. See, that's hard. That's hard. And you know why that's hard? Because we like to mask that. We like to say, I'm not going to struggle. Yeah, there's struggles out there and people struggle, but for saying that I struggle, that's a lot harder. That's a lot harder to do. See, this woman from the outside, she looked fine. From the outside, she looked fine, but on the inside, she was literally bleeding out. Some of you are bleeding out on the inside, but you have masked your struggle so well that you can walk around and you can pretend like everything's fine, but on the inside, you are bleeding out and you need to get to a place where you say, listen, I can't do this on my own. And in my pain, in my struggle, in my difficulty, I am making the choice to go to Jesus. To go to Jesus. Listen, you go to Jesus by surrendering. By just saying, listen, I give up. I'm surrendering. I can't do this on my own. I'm surrendering to him. You go to Jesus by accepting him. And I don't mean just praying a prayer and saying, listen, I accept what you did for me on the cross. You accept Jesus by every single day making a choice that you're going to allow Jesus to do life with you and you aren't doing it on your own. You go to Jesus in your pain by pursuing him, by pursuing a relationship with him. It's not coming in church and just sitting here and going, okay, great, I made it. Now I'm going to get up and leave. It's continually pursuing a relationship with him. She goes to Jesus in her pain. Second thing is this. She ran with a new crowd. She ran with a new crowd. Listen, she got in with a crowd that was following Jesus. She got in with a crowd that she had no choice because they were pointing her to Jesus. That's who she decided to step in the crowd with. And the crowd that was following Jesus, you know what they did? They pointed her to him. Some of you guys, you're in a brokenness incubator with the people that you surround yourself with in your life. And you've just incubated all of your issues and all of your problems because the people around you are just going to leave you where you're at. And they're not going to point you to Jesus. And you're going, why can't I get out of this cycle? Why can't I get out of this struggle? Why is this pain inside of me so difficult? And you haven't put yourself in a crowd that's going to point you to Jesus. You can't do life alone. Get in community. This last week, I got in a fight with my wife, and some of you are like, well, you're a pastor and you got a fight with your wife? Yeah, I'm actually really good at it, okay? That happens often. And we worked it out and we got through it, and the next day I was sitting down in my office with Pastor Ben. He's our Prescott Valley location pastor, and I was sitting with him, and I was just recounting, man, what went down and how I learned, what God was teaching me, my brokenness that was revealed through that. Man, I'm struggling through this, and this is the issue that I had, and I can't believe I said this. I can't believe we did this, and why did I think this way? And I'm just processing with him and laying out, man, this is how broken I am. This is how messed up I am. And as he's listening to everything I said, you know what he did? He then pointed me to Jesus. Who in your life do you have that you're doing life with that the crowd that you're surrounding yourself with is pointing you to Jesus? See, at Heights, we are four together, which means we believe you can't do life alone. And at Heights, the way that we believe that that happens is through life groups. And we are blessed with an incredible life groups team. And we are blessed with a church who believes in life groups. And in fact, we have over half of our church in life groups. But you know what that means? It means that half of you aren't in life groups. That means that half of you have a reason, whatever excuse you have, to not step into a group where you can do life with the people around you. And I'm telling you right now, you are not stepping into all that Jesus has for you. You are not stepping into what he has for you. But when you step out and say, I want to do life with people because I know I was not created to be alone, you're able to experience the fullness of what God has for you. Listen, you can get involved. You can go on Heights website. You can go on Heights app. You can say, I want to be interested in a life group. You can email our life groups team. I don't care how the heck you do it, but you need to reach out and take that step to say, I want to be in life group and do life with people, because you have to put yourself in a crowd that is following Jesus. This woman's hemorrhaging would never have stopped if she didn't put herself in a crowd that took her to Jesus. And the hemorrhaging in you will never stop if you try to do it alone. Next is this. She acted on her faith. She acted on her faith. There's a difference between having faith and acting on it. There's a difference between having faith and acting on it. I don't know if you guys know this, but our church offices are downtown. They're on the square. We don't have space on our locations to have our church offices. And so our church offices are downtown. They're on the square and they're on the second floor of this incredible building. And so you got to walk up this really long flight of stairs. And when you get to the top of the stairs, there's a really nice lady there named Laurel. And Laurel will say, "How are you doing today? How can I help you?" And you'll answer once you get to the top of this really long flight of stairs. And you'll go, "I just..." We live at 5,000 feet elevation, and those of you that are laughing, it's because you've been to the office, right? You've walked up the stairs. Actually, you know what it's like. You get there, and people always get to the top, and they make an excuse. They're like, "My workout starts next week. I got Stairmaster at home," right? But I'll meet with people that have made it up the stairs, and at the end of the meeting, they'll go, "Man, I got to go back down, but my knee, I don't know if I can handle the stairs." And I go, "We have an elevator." And I take them over and I go, "This is the elevator and it can take you right down. It'll be perfect." Listen, I would never step foot in that elevator myself. I'm telling you right now, there's this little sketchy little door and you got to push all the buttons and you got to do it right. And if you get stuck, you're stuck in there forever. For all of time. I'm telling you right now. And so we were getting ready for Easter and all the stuff that was delivered to the office, we had to take to our campuses, to our locations. And so I was carrying all this stuff down to put it in a truck on the street and it was in a wagon and I'm carrying this wagon to the stairs and Laurel at the front desk, she said, "Hey, why don't you use the elevator?" And I said, "Oh, heck no, I'm not getting in there." And I picked up the wagon and carried it down the stairs. And she looked at me and she goes, "But I've heard you tell other people to go in the elevator." And I said, "Oh yeah, I believe in it, but I'm just not getting in it." There's a difference between having faith and acting on it. There's a difference between believing something and acting on it. Oh, you can have faith. You can have faith that God is healer, but there's a difference between having faith that God is healer and then acting like he's moved in your life. Oh, there's a difference between believing God as provider and stopping worrying about everything that's going on in your life. There's a difference between believing God can do it and acting on the faith that you have. This woman acted on her faith. She said, "I know that Jesus can heal me. I know that he's the one. And instead of just believing it, I'm going to act on my faith." You know what acting on your faith looks like? It looks like taking it out of this room. It looks like allowing that faith that you proclaim, that you will say in here, to make its way into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and the rest of your week. It looks like practicing spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines are this: it's being disciplined enough to do the things to connect with God spiritually. Being disciplined enough to take the time in your life to say, "I'm going to open the Word of God." Like, "Man, I don't know where to start. I don't know what it says. It's hard to understand." And we have all these obstacles in our way and we'll say, I don't know if I can do that. And we'll do that. But listen, you're not going to connect with God. You're not going to have the discipline to connect with him spiritually if faith is just something you say and it's not something you do, if you don't open the Word of God. If you don't pray. Prayer is hard, man. You talk to him and he's like, he's not talking back. For some of you that have kids, that sounds nice. Talk to them, they're not talking back. But listen, you pray and it's weird. You're like, "I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do." So you put his excuses and you go, "I'm just not going to do it." For a lot of you, you haven't stepped out in your faith and acted on it by serving. By serving. Listen, we have areas in this church where we need you to step up and we need you to serve, because faith is not just something that you believe. It's something that if you believe, you will act on. And you will say, "Yes, it's hard for me to step out. It's hard for me to do. There's a lot of problems in the way for me to step out and to do this." But we have areas that we need you to step up in. You heard me talk about it a couple weeks ago. Our kids and youth ministry have exploded in the last few months. It is incredible what God is doing there. And in order for us to step into what God is doing there, we need our church, which is not just someone standing on stage. We need our church to step up, to step out, to say, "I want to walk alongside a student. I want to walk alongside a kid. And I want to help point them to Jesus." Listen, she acted on her faith. And right now, all of those things, all those spiritual disciplines, you're going, but I got a lot of obstacles in my way to get there. I just don't have time to do it. My life's a little crazy right now. I have little kids of my own. I just don't know if I can step out. I just don't know if I can do that. And listen, this woman, she had plenty of obstacles in her way to get to Jesus, to do what she needed to do, to act on her faith. And you know what she did? She pressed through the crowd. She pressed through the obstacles in her way, the things that she had deemed were too big for her to go through, to act on a faith that she proclaimed. Step out into action. Step out into action. Listen, today, this morning, you might feel unseen. You might have come in today and you might have feel unseen. But that is a lie. Because Jesus not only sees you, but he's seeking you. And he's saying, come here, come here. And in the middle of your pain, in the middle of your pain, you can go to Jesus. In the middle of your pain, surround yourself with people that are going to point you to Jesus. And put your faith, put the thing that you say you believe into action. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for everything that you've blessed us with, for everything that you've given us. God, thank you for the opportunity to come to you, that you are never too busy for us. In the middle of our pain and in the feeling of being unseen, Lord, we praise you because you see us and you seek us. I pray for those of us in here today that are struggling, that are in the middle of the struggle, God, that we would go to you, that we would not try to do it on our own anymore, but that we would make you the focus because you are healer. And we not only believe that, God, but we are willing to put action to that. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for everything that you've blessed us with. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.